When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello and welcome to AFP. My name is Devang Desai and I'm joined this week by Nick Andrade. Mr. David Goss is away. On today's show, we chat Josie's swan song at BMO Field, Seattle SKC Hell in the Cell, the Revs win the Supporter Shield, a deep dive on the Whitecaps with reporter Sarita Patel, and all of your questions on Ask AFP. Nick, how are you doing, sir? I think you've had a great weekend. One of the best ever, perhaps?
Here we go, baby. Hey, Liverpool! I texted you this, Devang, yesterday. Probably one of the greatest, if not greatest, days of my life. I tried to look back and, you know, just everything that happened in that game yesterday was just chef kiss, I would think. Apart from the Pogba red card, I want to know what your take was, to be honest. But like, you obviously know how I feel.
Ooh, no, I was a bit worried. I'm like, no DG. He's on vacation. Blessings to him.
Right.
Much love. He's in Portugal. But I'm like, you know, we're gonna miss his energy. I hope Nick's gonna bring it. But as I'm watching this game unfold, there was little to no doubt in my mind that Nick was gonna bring it because it was an absolute masterclass. And I remember I was watching the Atalanta game midweek where they came back, and I think Paul Scholes was like, they're gonna get destroyed by Liverpool if they play this way. And everyone's like, Paul Scholes, he doesn't know, and they did.
Yeah,
it was amazing. As a neutral, one of those games you love to watch because you, again, when it's happening to you, one of the worst feelings. And Liverpool has done that to many club, including Arsenal. So when it's not happening to them, boy, oh boy, what a Pogba, Ronaldo should have been sent off. So I mean, what a miraculous day.
I'm still perplexed. I guess maybe it's the Ronaldo factor that he wasn't sent off, but he not only kicked Curtis Jones once, he kicked him twice. And that second time, and I remember, I think Jim Beglin was saying like, oh, he got the ball. Sorry, my mistake. But that's not the point. He knew what he was doing.
Jim Beglin also was like apologizing to him on the air. I'm like, he can't hear you, bro. He cannot hear you at all. Jim Beglin also packaged a bunch of lines. Beglin was put in front of a mirror. Like, Peter Drury has these lines he whips out every week. I'm going to do this. So he brought out his haunted house analogy. Yeah. Everything was coming out. I wanted to add, the refs are scared of Ronaldo. His manager is scared of Ronaldo to not play him. It's an absolute mess. We won't go too deep into the Manchester United debacle, but amazing. Again, if you're not a fan of them, hilarious. What a weekend. Nick, also El Clasico happened. Not a great game at all, to be honest. 1-0 though, Real Madrid, David Alaba. Amazing strike. Not good though. I think Ronald Koeman was attacked leaving the ground there was an incident. I juxtaposed that with Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer signing autographs after the loss. And like,
well, I mean, he also said he's gone too far with this team, blah, blah, blah.
But I think it's interesting. Like the fans and him, a video I saw, it was very cordial and like respectful. And then you had this incident in Barcelona, but you have two clubs, two massive clubs dealing with the future and not being the best. Big changes in Europe.
Can I ask you a question? I wrote this down, but it was, does it feel like the El Clasico? Because I mean, I watched yesterday and, you know, I know these two teams are still, you know, arguably the two best teams in the world in terms of just, you know, fans and who cheers for them and whatever. They're the biggest clubs, regardless of who plays on the team. But it just felt like it missed a beat. It was off a step. And like, is this the way it moves forward until, you know, Mbappe signs for Real and Barcelona gets their things together? Because not that it was kind of sad, but, you know, sometimes I think Atletico is the best team in La Liga. So it's like, it's more fun to watch them park the bus half the time. But did it miss a step here? Because I feel like it did.
I think there's a couple of things. I think you're right. I think the off-field shenanigans and the Messi saga has obviously dampened Barca's standing, but their place in the league is also not the same. They are not one of the best clubs. I think they're still around the top, but like you said, there's other behemoths. Real Madrid also in a bit of a transition as well. They need some new people to come in. So I think all of those things add to it not being perhaps the marquee it was. I know this. I was watching a lot of things on my screen on Sunday because we had India-Pakistan World Cup. Yeah. We had every other game. But when Manchester United-Liverpool came on, I diverted one of the bigger screens from El Clasico to that. El Clasico to a smaller screen because I'm like, you know what? I think Manchester United-Liverpool will be the zanier game. And it truly was.
It was.
Again, in a hilarious fashion. OMG, fantastic.
Quickly, before we go, I don't know what you were going to say, but I put in Arsenal here because I want to talk about them because they beat Aston Villa and they look good. They look really good and they've looked good for weeks now.
Villa's a bit of a boogeyman team for Arsenal as well. Palace a bit of a blip, but I think the other thing, this team is the youngest, one of the youngest in the league by average age, which is not talked about a lot at all, even because I think Aubameyang being there and Laka being there still kind of clouds that, but there will be inconsistency. That being said, Emile Smith Rowe, Saka,
there's life.
It was fun. That was really fun. Again, on Friday too. So it set up my weekend to not be terrible. If they had lost, I'm probably in a gutter somewhere, not recording the show at all. So here we
see,
are.
We both got energy. Both our teams, our European teams won. We're feeling
here
good.
We
Some
go.
Crazy stuff in MLS. I'm excited.
A lot of MLS coming up. But before we do that, a reminder, we are on patreon.com/footballpodcast. We reached our first goal. Major thanks to everyone who's helped us out there. Those people are on the Discord now chatting with us all day about soccer. You get also get this show ad-free and you get it a bit early when we record this, whenever we do early in the week. So head on over to patreon.com/footballpodcast and join today. When we come back, an MLS roundup, Jozy Altidore breaking Montreal's hearts again. You hate to see it.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Montreal holding on to a 1-0 lead deep into stoppage time here at BMO Field. Pozuelo and Altidore standing over this free kick. It's Josie Altidore!
Not a death knell for CF Montreal, but it is a massive blow to co-sign our friend Luke Wildman's words on Saturday night. At the death, Josie Altidore scoring off a free kick, one of the worst constructed walls I've ever seen in the history of mankind, Nick. I don't know who designed that, but I think a tale of the game really was the keeper for Montreal, James Pantemis, kind of foiling Josie, who looked great. Josie looked the best I think he's looked physically in a couple years, which I think was part of what made Saturday night's game kind of weird. It felt like the end of something for him, perhaps, but one final shot across the bow against Montreal, a team he has dominated, Nick. I think it was kind of felt like the end of something. I don't know how you took it.
I mean, we're both kind of TFC fans, so watching him score that goal, one, it was justice because throughout that game, I think he deserved more. Mm-hmm. He deserved a goal in that game. He had tremendous shots on goal that, you know, I thought he's got to poach one at least. And he came alive. It just seemed like he was back, and it kind of felt a little sad knowing that, you know, this might be, you know, one of his last games. And I'm happy that it was a kind of a swan song, especially against Montreal and everything he's done throughout the years against Montreal. But man, oh man, just the way to end it there. And you always think like TFC, they've had such a rough season all year. To be able to play spoiler against Montreal potentially is, I mean, for them, they must be buzzing.
Imagine running to this team as a spoiler as well. Like, for as trash as TFC has been, they still have a load of extremely good players. If you can trot out the likes of Jonathan Osorio, Michael Bradley, Mavinga, Richie, Aro, it's not the worst squad in the world. Then you bring in Paz and Altidore to kind of twist the knife against a Montreal team that had been getting by. I think surviving is the word we've been using the last few weeks. And now they're sitting outside of the playoff picture. I think if you're looking around the conference, I don't know if the New York Red Bulls are catchable. It feels like the New York Red Bulls are on a different level. And it turns out that's who Montreal will play next on the road after they play Forge in this Canadian Championship semifinal on Wednesday. It is a huge week for them. I think the emotional letoff of not getting away with 3 points is huge in this game because I think it's a rivalry, of course, but I wonder how you can respond to that with this fixture jam coming up, Nick. It's going to be a tough week for them.
They have Houston and Orlando at home, so maybe that's something there, but I don't know. Like, they, you know, Atlanta and New York both have games in hand, right? So it's like, I don't see a way. Like, this was a game that they kind of needed to win. And it's the same thing with like DC and what happened with them. They might be on the outskirts and I don't see them finding a way. I think, you know, it might be locked.
DC needing a result and getting absolutely destroyed by New York City FC is probably a nice sum up of what this weekend was like in terms of clubs needing results. I mean, there was a lot of teams on the West Coast that could have done themselves a lot of favors, including the Galaxy, who drew Dallas, Portland, who couldn't lose, cannot win now, and who are in trouble. And the Whitecaps, in the end, getting one of the better results against San Jose, which we'll talk about at length with Sarita. But like the Toronto-Montreal banter, this goes beyond MLS. You know, this is like
it does.
It's hockey. Hell, we know it's hockey, but it's definitely this rivalry. TFC has had the upper hand for many years. But I think some Montreal media wanted to, I guess, even things up a bit with Jonathan Osorio pregame and a bit of a interesting interview. We have the media here, but we'll play it.
I think they're really well coached. They have a team that works together. You know, we play them at very different times in the years, and both games are different. So I expect this game to be a lot different and different players on the field. So we'll see.
You opened that door for me. That's a team that plays together. Is that something that explains the season that you guys had?
No, it's okay, because at the end of the day, Toronto FC, you know, we've had one bad season, but we still have an MLS Cup and Montreal does not.
So not included because you can't see things on a visual podcast, but also immediately walking away after that is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. The interplay there is interesting. Like, I've seen a lot of debate about this. Like, should yeah. Osu have gone there? I thought the journalist, though, she knew. Like, she's like, she gave me an opening. So she knew she was kind of turning the screw a bit. But I thought it was fair on both sides, in my opinion.
I didn't really pay attention to what she asked him the first time I listened to that. Listening to it again, that was a jab, right? So kind of that opens the door for him to make that jab back. But like
100%.
It just, especially the death stare that he's giving. I also want to say, I don't think I've met many people with Toronto man's accents, but now that I like Osorio, I think Delino Banton from the Raptors, like I'm starting to realize 100%. This accent is actually real, but like what a way to walk off. I feel like it's a little, I don't know. It's one of those like situations in like a Hollywood drama where there's a conversation between two characters and then that person at the end gets the last word and walks away. And that's the end of the conversation. That's what Osorio did. He kind of mic dropped there and it was incredible.
If you put Oso's words into Google Translate under Toronto man's into English, it would say the audacity. How dare you to bring that up? But I loved the banter. I loved the reaction in the studio. They knew this is all jokes. I think Oso's a legend, obviously. But that to me was, it's fun. The rivalry still matters. And again, it's kind of nice for TFC in a lost season to do that to Montreal. It wasn't a win, but a massive week for both clubs. Of course, Canadian Championship semifinals getting played. Anything else Canadian-wise, Nick? I know we're going to do a whole thing on the Whitecaps, but...
I did want to go back to Josie in terms of like his legacy. I think it's untarnished at all. Like nothing that happened this year tarnishes his legacy in any way. I just want to know like your thoughts of like, I mean, just like what he's done for the club. I mean, just the years with Seba and what they've done to Montreal and winning that MLS Cup and how many clutch goals he scored, especially in that final. Like, what has he meant to this organization and the fan base? Like, you were close with this team for a long time. You still are, in your terms, at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he'd be on that Mount Rushmore. Or he'd be on that wall of honor that we used to have that we took down, but we could put a real one up now and he'd definitely be there. I think he is one of the most important figures in club history, which has made obviously the end that much more complicated because extricating yourself from that era has proven to be a tall task, as it has been for most clubs that enjoy success that we've seen in recent time. It's weird though, man. Like I watched Saturday and he looked amazing. He looked great.
He did.
And I think the health stuff is always going to be a huge problem because, I mean, if Josie's fully fit, we're not really having this discussion. I think he's in the lineup. I don't think you're starting Paddy Mullins, right? So
right.
You see that. You see the discourse about potential Seba return. You wonder if you look at the ticket sales, if you look at where TFC is right now in the conversation, pretty low. I wonder if the plan perhaps is to be to run it back in a half rebuild, half restructure with Seba and Josie again next year. I don't think that's beyond possible. And that includes perhaps moving on some other guys, which we'll get to and ask AFP. But I really don't know, Nick. That's where I'm kind of left right now. I think usually we have a good read on this kind of stuff, but I'm not sure what the plan is for the offseason.
Would that be the right decision? Like, would that be the right decision to kind of bring these guys back? I mean, it's hard when you see Josie like that. It's hard to like say, well, he doesn't have anything left. It looks like he has a lot left. So it's like, it makes sense to bring him back. But in the overall grand scheme of things and where TFC should go, is this a way to go, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think this is the right move. So but there's some external factors in play here as well. And it's about is there value? Will someone else go in for him? Like, what is the move? So... a lot of questions left there and a few games left. I think I'll be curious to see what send off some of the veterans get on TFC in their final game at home, because it could be the end of an era there. All right. New England Revolution, Supporters Shield champions. They knew that before they played Orlando, thanks to SKC's result in Seattle. But New England was down, didn't play anyone. Basically, they had everyone was rotated except, I think, Matt Turner and Andrew Farrell. Brought in all the guys that brought them here and then proceeded to get a draw against Orlando. Kind of speaks to what this team has done all year, Nick. They have a nucleus that can definitely do damage, but I saw some stats indicating that because they have done so well and they'll have this bye with the November break in there as well, which MLS will adhere to, it's going to be a huge gap for this New England team of games. Did they peak too early? Is that the famous saying? Did they peak too early?
You never know, too. I still think, you know, the MLS has great parity in this league. Any given day, I think a team can beat another team. And, I mean, New England has had a superpower season, and they're just shy of, you know, the points mark. They're probably going to reach it by the end of the season, unless, you know, they continue to bench guys. But it doesn't, like, I don't know. I still look at Seattle, and I still think, like, they're the top dogs. And until... I mean, New England, they finished eighth last year, right? I mean, I know that this team is a lot different and a lot of them are more healthy now and a lot of their guys have been stepping up. Adam Buxa looks incredible. Carlos Heel, all those guys. But can they be beaten? And you mentioned the time off that they have. That's not good. You kind of want to keep the season rolling. And so I look at this team and, you know, in a playoff scenario, anything can happen. And I'm not so sure that this team can really roll through the playoffs like people might think they do. I don't know what you think, but that's kind of my service level.
I mean, I personally, if they get another win, I believe they'll set the points record for in a season, which is Atlanta,
yeah,
LAFC.
2 points back, yeah.
Right. That's phenomenal. To me, that's enough.
Yeah.
To me, the playoffs are another thing, but if they were able to get the supporter shield and set the record, I'm of the mind where it's like, okay, you should win, but that is a greater sample of what this team is about than what we're going to see in the playoffs, where you're right, anything can happen. I think that 2017 TFC team, who was dominant from beginning to end and had a chip on their shoulder after the final and literally lay waste to the league, is an outlier. No, teams aren't like that. And I think the stats backed it up as well. So I would be surprised if they win MLS Cup, is what I would say to that, Nick.
I want to hear what David Goss's hot take would be. I feel like he would be angry at us.
He's raging on a beach in Portugal right now, listening to this. So you mentioned Seattle, Nick. This was the game of the weekend. Huge battle of the West best at Lumen Field. I think SKC could clinch with a win. Seattle would stay in that Supporters Shield race, but it was SKC who won an amazing team goal, the Johnny Russell goal. I think they had the ball for like 2.5 minutes. Before that goal. But in the second half, it was all Seattle, Nick. And Seattle was, you could argue, the better team. Says Kissy just took their chance. We'll get to that. I think we should talk about the suplex heard around the world, though, first.
Well, The Rock tweeted about it, so.
The Rock, yeah. So there's a couple of things here. Like, people are like, wow. So if you haven't seen it, look it up. Melia Roldan, suplex, not red card. It was a yellow card. The Rock tweeted about it. He's like, haha, this is a wrestling move. The league loved it. They're amplifying The Rock tweeting about it. People are like, why is the league highlighting how garbage the refereeing is? How couldn't he see this? People have their opinions. Nick, I'm curious, how did you view this? Red card, not a red card.
It should have been a red card. Devang, it drives me nuts when I see non-soccer plays get, you know, a yellow card or nothing happens. I hate it. Like, it was Ronaldo yesterday with the kick in. It's Team Melia here. It's like, these are red cards. This is not a soccer play. He literally suplexed the guy or whatever. I don't know what term the actual wrestling move is, but that's a red card. It's not a yellow. And they even looked at it too, and they decided it's a yellow card. It makes no sense whatsoever. He should have been sent off. That maybe would have changed. Maybe it changes the whole complex of the game. Like, I think Seattle probably wins it, right? I mean, they came close at the end there, but how do you not call that? He literally tackled a guy. He wrestled him down from his neck.
My new favorite thing is when VAR looks at something and sticks with the horrendous call that is stayed in place, which you've seen a couple of times now, the last couple of weeks. I find that hilarious. It's like, well, technology is useless because the people using it are also useless, which I think has always been the problem with VAR. Listen, okay, to be that guy, like, sure, probably a red card. I'll say, like, Roldan is being an absolute pest, and that's what he's good at, and he's, like, backing in NBA style, like, going for a rebound on Melia. Melia's got this look on his face that screams yelling at someone in a Chipotle because they didn't prepare your burrito properly. Just intense. intense rage.
Yeah.
That frightened me more than the actual violent action. Because I'm like, is this guy going to go off? But should have been a red card. I mean, selfishly, I'm kind of glad it wasn't, because I'm glad the game played out and we got to see them both with 11. I think Seattle could say SKC was missing Salawai, who's been amazing. But I feel like the Seattle problem and the New England problem is kind of what we saw in the second half. Doesn't matter how good you are. You can dominate play. You can be on the front foot. It takes 2 minutes of wonderful football to be carved up and eliminated. And I think that's what SKC shows they can do with that goal to win it.
That pass by Espinosa was insane. Class. Like I watched it maybe like 7 times. It was just perfect. And then rolled down too at the end of that game. Like he should have scored. He hit the bar. It should have been a draw. It should have ended a draw. These two teams are the cream of the crop. Like I love watching these two teams play. Apart from, I think it was like Minnesota LAFC, where it was my favorite game of the week otherwise. This game just has it all. I love the way these two teams play, and it's sad that it can't be an MLS final, but I think they will take it to the end, and these two teams will be out top in the West, 100%. I don't see any other way. Again, like you said, anything can happen, but they just look so good, and they're fun to watch, and I hope they play each other.
I mean, the rest of the West, Colorado, I will not disrespect them, but outside of that, nothing to be really that scared of, especially what we've seen from the Galaxy lately and Minnesota. I mean, I probably don't want to run to Vancouver, but I think we might actually get that game. That might be the boldest take, but in a league of parity and wild playoffs, I think we might get Seattle SKC in the final in the West.
I'm not scared of Colorado. I think that blip that they had for a while kind of shows maybe who they are. So yeah, I agree with you. I think those two we're going to see.
Anything else, Nick, else league-wide? I think we talked DC absolutely getting pummeled. That's interesting because I think New York City FC, Ronnie Delio was under the gun as well in terms of what was going on with that team. There's a huge lifeline for them. They're now above the line. We talked about the Red Bulls running off these games. I think the Galaxy, to me, were interesting, Nick. They needed that point desperately, and they came back from 2 down against the Dallas team already eliminated. But Greg Vanney's doing all sorts of shit. He's doing all sorts of formation changes, and like he's trying everything. But I wonder if it'll come off.
I think it's enough. I don't see Real Salt Lake making a push after this. I think they're out. I honestly do think that we see both in the East and West both. All the teams that are in now, I think that's where we see it. I love how close it is, though, and how everything's going to interchange. I still think Atlanta has a good shot in the East, but yeah, West, I mean, the Galaxy, I don't see any of these teams in the lower half of the West making a push in the playoffs. So it doesn't really matter long term. But I think Greg's done a great job with LA, especially what they were last year. Right? Yeah. Like I think he's legitimate one of the best coaches in MLS, period. And he's shown that time and time again. And especially with this team and what he's been able to accomplish with them, I think they're playing above expectations in terms of the players that they have, not their expectations of LA as a team.
Yeah. I think this is a lot of trial and error and finding out a way to rebuild, not from the rubble, but you're right. They were down bad. The Galaxy, and it's a process to get into the playoffs the first year of this process. I think that would have been the goal, but let's see how they can end the season. I will say TFC, spoiler alert, Claxon, huge game against Atlanta away on Saturday. I have a feeling a few Toronto FC players will really want to get up for that game and mess up Atlanta's chances based on what happened at BMO with the fisticuffs at the end or the incident. I have a feeling there's going to be an interesting result there. So maybe FC Montreal will get a fortunate bounce from their Canadian rivals. Great weekend at MLS. Should make for a really fascinating final couple games. I mentioned big week for the Canadian Championship. There's only one semifinal this week. The Pacific Toronto game will be next week. So sorry if I confused you there. But to keep it locked on Canada, coming up next, we sit down with Whitecaps club reporter Sarita Patel to talk about everything Vancouver Whitecaps, Vanny Sartini, the club, this run they're on, the final 3 games, how high the stakes are, all of that coming up next on AFP.
Hello. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to AFP. They're the talk of the country soccer-wise outside of both national teams. The Vancouver Whitecaps are in the playoffs as we speak, just above the line. It's been a pretty remarkable turnaround in pretty extreme circumstances. So we thought it would make sense to bring in a ringer to talk about the Whitecaps. She is the club reporter for the very club, Sarita Patel. Welcome to AFP.
Thank you so much, boys. I'm so excited to be here.
So we talked about the Whitecaps back in August when they suffered the defeat of all defeats to Pacific. And though we're huge Pamo Ducat fans on this show, we were also like, what the hell happened to the Whitecaps? And even though they were unbeaten for a bunch of games, you could tell something was off. They lose that game and then they make the change. Mark Dos Santos is out. A few months later, here we are, and it seems like the good times are here. They keep getting results. I wonder, just right off the hop, Sarita, what has changed the most since that time?
I just think, you know, that was just a turning point for a lot of players and even the staff here. It was just too hard to see two Canadian championships losses out of a CPL team. So you saw that quick turnaround. But Vanni Sartini has been a part of the club. He was an assistant manager with Mark Dos Santos and Phil Dos Santos. So he was under the two guys for 2 years before switching over to the U23 squad and being the director of mythology. And the boys know him. So when he got put into the helm, he is still an interim head coach right now, but it wasn't like a brand new face, a brand new tactic. It was just him kind of being reintroduced to the players and just him using his different kind of style of, you could see him. He's on the sidelines, walking up and down, being wild, but he is passionate about soccer. And his number one thing is giving people a chance. You give a person the opportunity to showcase their worth. So you can see that with him starting 22 players. Only two players haven't started within 10 games. And that gives an opportunity to Marcus Cedinho, Michael Baldissimo as a center back. Anybody you think of that might not be starting, he gives them an opportunity to touch the field and show him what he's got. And then he kind of works around that, works in a 3-4-1-2 formation. And it does help that we have Ryan Gold, but you know, he's just somebody who gives everybody a chance to kind of showcase what they're about. And it's nice to see.
Would you say that Vanny is a player's coach? Like, is it loose in the locker room? You know, ever since he got hired, obviously there's been such a big change with this team. Is he like somebody that kind of, you know, is galvanizing this group?
I would say that. Like, when he came in, he specifically went to a couple of the older players like Rusty, Jakey, Toss, and said, hey, I'm not going to go in there and make a big speech. They had a game the next day. So he only had one training session under his belt before they played RSL. And he's like, do we need to talk to you guys? Do as coaching staff? And they're like, no, just let us, you know, figure it out. And he did. He stepped back. He let them do them. And it worked. You know, they gave Vanny the 4-1 victory in his first match at home. And ever since that, he makes them believe, I don't know if you guys can ever hear his post-match in the circle. Great. He speaks in English. Yes. And near the end, he ends in Italian because he gets too excited. He forgets English. Yeah. And he just, andiamo, a lot of that. And it really pumps the guys up. And it's a good feeling right now.
Not only is he getting results, he is a content king when it comes to speeches or predictions. I know he told you basically that they were going to come back in Portland, which is incredible because they did. And the speech after that game, I wanted to run through a wall, and I have very little allegiance to the Vancouver Whitecaps. I think that's a good sign. But what he's about. I wanted to talk, Sarita, about Max Crépeau. I think we're pretty high on him. I arguably one of the top three keepers in this league, but it's interesting. I think now as a national team member, he's maybe being positioned to be the number one for a long time. What's his role like at the club? Like, is he one of the leadership guys? Is he someone that people are drawn to?
110%. This guy, after becoming a father, he's still very much involved. You know, you have a little baby at home, but he's still there. He's amazing, not only for media like myself, but for the players. He's the stability guy. Like, you know, I go to him, obviously not during a match to ever talk to him, because never talk to a goalkeeper, you know that, in hockey or in soccer. But post-match or anything, either if we're winning or losing, he is there. He's present. He is just that hype guy that you know you need. Him and I have a pretty funny relationship too, because Nick knows this. I have high energy. I don't drink coffee, but I have an exuberance of energy. Yeah. So we always joke, Max and I, that like when he's wearing his glasses, I can't like be all crazy and excited. When he puts his contacts in and he's in game mode, I can go and like shake him and be all excited. So when we're on the road, he has his glasses on. He'll like point his glasses on. Like, okay, I'll calm down. And then he'll be like, during a pre-match meal, he'll have his contacts in. He's like, I'm ready. And I'm like, let's go. So he's just a fun guy. Really, really incredible season for him, not only for the national team, but for Vancouver as well. And that PK save, it still keeps going over and over in my mind. And I don't know if you guys watch the last match here in San Jose and the incredible agility that man had, thanks to a flow quick save, but then he jumped right back in to make sure that wasn't a goal.
Speaking of that match against San Jose, 1-1 draw, I think based on the results elsewhere in the league, still a good result, but I guess you're also assuming maybe it could have been more. That being said, looking at the lineup, looking at the discourse on Twitter, I'm curious if you think that is Vanny's preferred formation going forward. Like, if he has everyone available to him, is that the 11 that he's going to trot out there in a must-win game, which I guess the next three are?
I do see that. And we got to remember that they're playing five matches in 17 days. And his whole mentality is he subs a lot of people, obviously, because you want to keep the legs going for everybody. But I do see that as his strongest starting 11. It does help that injury prone players are coming back. I know we don't have Kyle Alexander for the rest of the season, but having Renko back is huge. Having Guti back is huge. And then I feel like that will build towards being the best 11. And I think you could see that after three matches in 7 days, those players played phenomenally to start. It was exhausting flying from Portland to San Jose. And I talked to the players. They were like, oh, yeah, we were a bit tired. But they felt like they left the 2 points off the line. But they're happy with the 7 points in 7 days for sure.
I'm going to talk about maybe like the emergence of Ryan Gold and Brian White, because I know Lucas Cavallini, he's had, you know, some injuries this year. He hasn't been kind of the same player that they lean on most of the time. But these two players and their emergence, like, just how special are these two guys for the team?
It's incredible what Brian White is doing. He comes in from New York Red Bulls and he is supposed to be just, you know, the backup of Lucas while he went on international duty, as Thomas Hasal is for Max Crépeau. And, you know, just he didn't even know how many starts he was going to get. But with Lucas leaving and Lucas getting injured twice, he has been slotted in many more times. And that man is probably one of the, I'm not saying that everybody else isn't, but he is one of the hardest working players that I've seen. Mm-hmm. He is always at the gym. He is always trying different things. Him and Ryan are not known for headers that much, but you see them just they're always there and their head is always popping up. Like that Bruno Gaspar save from going out in Portland, and it's only Brian White. You're like, where were you? How did you get there? And I even asked him, I'm like, did you know Bruno was going to send it to you in the box? And he goes, no, I was walking away thinking it was going to be out. And he's like, and then I see him like, keep it in. And he's like, and I turned around and boom, it goes in. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I didn't even think it was going to be in. And I was like, incredible. Like I was here during Thanksgiving Monday at the facility, and he was at the gym working out. And he's like, I got to work out. And he's just, his mindset is just be the best that you can be. And I ask him, like, you know, nine of the last 11 goals from the team before heading into San Jose, you were a part of either, you had 7 goals and 2 assists. How, what's going on? He goes, you know, you just got to keep working for that ball. And if you see him play, anytime they pass it back to the goalkeeper, he's rushing the goalkeeper. He's always there. He's trying to make them make a mistake. And he's an amazing player and one of the good guys. So I'm really happy for him. And on the other side, you have Ryan Gauld, who is just incredible. Like he's just the fastest little guy you'll ever see. And he's all over the pitch. And I'm like, how are you there? Like he's like past the, you know, like the wing backs and he's like in the box. I'm like, oh, this guy's like flash. Like, I don't know where he is, but he's also like just one of the best dribblers, can make you like slip and fall. And he just, him and Brian and him and Russell really have this connection where they know where each person is on the field. So Ryan, obviously when he started, was getting incredible attention. So there'd be like 2-on-1s and 3-on-1s, but he can get out of that situation because he's very aware of the pitch, and it's good to see him in number 10.
You mentioned contributions from a lot of players, Youngworth playing against San Jose, who he used to play with, having a great game. Another example of that. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, we talked about Ryan Gauld, obviously for his exploits, and Brian White being a huge ad, but on this squad, unsung hero, a glue guy. I know Rusty Tybert is a linchpin for this squad and has been for a long time, but I'm wondering, of this squad, who do you think has been key holding things together behind the scenes that maybe doesn't get as much shine as the big guys?
Well, Rusty is probably, I know he's been with the club, right, since he was a wee little kid. Like his half of his life has been in Vancouver. He bleeds and everything Vancouver. So he is obviously someone, obviously he gets recognized as the captain, but he does keep people together. But even Christian Dahomey, he's pretty quiet outside of the field. Like him and I don't know if you can tell, I am not versed in Espanol very well. So me and him and Diver and I and Guti and I probably say 7 words to each other on a daily basis. But Daho is very vocal on the pitch. He is very focused. He gets the captain band when Rusty walks off, typically because he knows how to band this team together. Toss is also a really big voice. He is the one who started Stand By Me for the wins at BC Place.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, he in Austin, he grabbed the boys together and played the song and said, guys, this is what we're going to be doing in front of our fans, our supporter section, when we win. And then ever since he said that, 6 out of 7, guess what? They've been singing, and it's incredible. So yeah, those two guys, and even Florian, he's a spicy guy, let me tell you. He's a
German humor, right? German humor is like dark a bit.
Very. And like, he's like, I think it was somebody started smacking on the door in Portland prior to the match. And then they just like smacked on. They're like, let's go. And we're like, oh, what if someone hit their head on it? And he just went and just smacked his head twice on the door. And we're like, oh no, sorry. Don't do that. That's not good. Wow. And like, I have special handshakes with each of the guys, and him and I don't have one yet. And in San Jose, he's like, I got one for us. He smacks my hand twice, and then he punches himself in the face twice. And he's like, let's do this. And I was like, no. And then the whole team, like, it was like Andy and Russ and all of them were sitting in front. I was like, Sarita, please don't do that. And I was like, I don't think I'm gonna, but he's just fun. He also is very passionate. You could see it on the field, and off the field, he's the same way. So there's a lot of guys that have been key players, but I would go with Daho or even Ricketts.
3 games left. We've had fans back for a bit at BC Place, but it is a different building when there's fans in there. It sounds amazing on TV. It looks like a fortress. I think players obviously feed off that, but this game against Minnesota, I think there's few bigger in recent memory. They travel to LAFC and then they wrap up at home against Seattle. It's hard to overhype this, right? Like, I think this is probably one of the bigger stresses in club history. So, Rita, what's the vibe like right now as they prepare for this?
For me, I think it's just incredible how everyone is focused. So every match that we've been a part of, and we had that long unbeaten streak, and now with the whole wins, even in Portland with the comeback win, they were excited, but you know, we had to pack our bags and head to San Jose. So it was very like, shower quick, let's get on the plane, let's go. And then the next day it was like, oh, we can't think about Portland. Portland was yesterday. We got to think about the Quakes. Even when the Quakes, they're like, oh, we wish we, you know, took three, but we got 1 point, we got a result. We're still on the playoff line. We got to think about Minnesota. They're very focused. The boys are, it's fun. We're listening to great music. We're, you know, everyone's happy, but they know the job's not done. So there was a stretch, obviously, when we were in Real Salt Lake that we weren't doing so hot. So we're trying to make up for that time. So having the ability to be on this trajectory that's going forward, the boys know what to do. They know that they have to go on the pitch and every game literally matters. And that's why on Wednesday with BC Place, it's now fully open. So full capacity. So that's a big deal. And having a Wednesday midweek game, but having this playoff push, we can see more fans coming in, more people being more comfortable because you need a vaccine passport. So the team knows how much the fans are needed. It's as Vanny says, it's the playoff push needs fans. We were without fans for so long, and even more so being in Real Salt Lake. We never had home fans for this year until we came home. So they know when BC Place is packed, it's the energy that helps and the wanting to sing Stand By Me and all that. So it's made a difference. And you're right, these three games, they all treat them like playoff games. They all say it, like it's a playoff game. It's a playoff game. And they're all focused.
Before we wrap up, I just wanted to get kind of your take on your experience joining an MLS team. Like, this is your first MLS team, but doing it during a pandemic, and especially like what the team went through during the pandemic. Like, what's your insight on, you know, just everything that's happened in the last, you know, 12 to 14 months?
Well, as Nick, you know me pretty well, so you've seen my journey, but a lot of people don't know. Moving to BC was kind of like a, you know, they say that in the broadcast school that we went to, where you got to start small, go to a small market and do what you got to do. So building my way up and then joining this MLS club was a dream. Working for a sports team was an absolute dream for me. So when I got the job offer, obviously I take it and I'm like, I get to move to a beautiful city like Vancouver. What else could I expect? And I take the job offer, I'm packing and I get a phone call. I'm moving to the city, let's remind you, in a week. And the guy who hires me is like, hey, what are your thoughts on Utah? And I was like, I don't think I have any thoughts on Utah. Never did. And didn't think I was gonna. And he was
you
like,
shouldn't have you any. Shouldn't have any.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, they have a lot of Mormons. I don't know. Salt Flats and, you know, just all the generic stuff. And he's like, well, you may move there. And I was like, okay. And then, so I lived in a hotel for about 30 days. Just met the team and I met the people I was working with, and they're like, all right, so everybody you met, you're going to live with them for 4.5 months. So good luck. And then you're like, just move into like this apartment with all the players, all your coworkers for 4 months. And you're just like stuck with them, but in a good way. So it was a weird experience having to move to the States, but I think for the team, it was better than what they had. This is just a personal thing. I didn't go to Orlando. I didn't go to Portland and I didn't go to Toronto when they were doing the MLS is back and the start of last season where they were all in these bubbles. But from what I've heard from other coworkers and players, this was a way better option because the other options was they were living in hotels by themselves, kind of isolated, couldn't do anything. While in Utah, Vancouver Whitecaps invited everybody, your family members, your dog, your cat, your fish, if you want, your Peloton bike, your, wow. your, my, my, uh, my ninja and my stand mixer went there, you know, like you wonder, but they, my golf clubs went there. So they wanted you to feel as comfortable as possible. So they brought everybody down there. So the players had, you know, a consistency. I got to live with the players. So only knowing them for a month and then hearing the word reporter is kind of like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't want to say something and I don't want to do something. But I told the players that, listen, like, I'm your reporter. I'm not saying anything or we're not talking about anything that is on the record unless I say, hey, this is on the record. So I got a bond with, like, I think you, Nick, one day we're like, you're close with Baldy because Baldy's so quiet. And I'm like, yeah, we talked about Marvel for like 4 days, you know? So like, you were meeting about players that you wouldn't necessarily know if you were living like how we are now. So we've all created like a friendship. Like I went to dinner with Bruno and his sister Katia yesterday because we created something that's a little longer standing than if you were just to start here and be far away. And the team, it was hard. It was hard for the team. I was saying to Bruno, you know, Utah was amazing, but not for the reason why we were there. The soccer suffered. It did. So unfortunately, the outskirts was good, but having to train at this one pitch. So in NSCC, they have two grass fields and four artificial pitches for the players to use. And there in Sandy, we only had one. And when we would play, even when we were home to Real Salt Lake, you practice on the pitch that you're going to play on, but Real Salt Lake didn't give it to us. So it was theirs, but technically we were the home team. And it's like, that's weird. So it was difficult not having fans. And then even when Real Salt Lake would play us and we were the home team, guess who was there? It was the Real Salt Lake fans.
Right.
And then the other two games that we had were allowed fans were LA Galaxy, and there were more Chicharito fans than anything. So you're like, yay, Chicharito, but also it's our home game. So it was hard on the boys. But I feel like it was a bonding experience that they're keeping to here, and it's showing in the results now. So hopefully we'll never have to go do that experience again. But I'm glad we went through it.
Fingers crossed. I'm knocking on a lot of wood as well for that we do not have to do that again.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, big luck, major luck, these final three games. Sarita, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And watch the Whitecaps, folks. Funnest team in the country, club-wise. Right now, let's enjoy the wave. Coming up next to close up shop, we wrap up with your questions, Ask AFP.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back, and now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Ask AFP. Thanks to everyone who sent their questions this week.
Nick, yeah. First, I need to get this out there. Our friend David Goss, love the guy. He's out in Portugal with his significant other, having a great time. We wish them all the best, but I saw something extremely troubling on his IG stories. He was at a Portuguese soccer game, which is wonderful. He's DG would get to a match if he's anywhere, yep. Right? But he's loving the ambiance, and he hears something on the PA system, and he's like, whoa, Sandstorm is back, baby. But in the background, you can clearly hear that it's the song Zombie Nation and not Darude Sandstorm. So I was a bit shocked. I was a bit stunned. I don't know if it's an ironic joke, but just when he comes back, I'd like him to answer for that.
We're going to have to get him to dissect it, because I tried, Devang, to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I watched the story, and Zombie Nation and Darude Sandstorm, those two songs,
nothing alike,
are so different from each other. There is nothing there to grasp as to why you confused it. And again, I mean, David always likes to pronounce that he's the youngest of the three of us. How does he not have the...
He said hip.
Yeah, he's hip, right? So how does he not have the prowess to know what Darude Sandstorm is? That was definitely a dad fail on his part. So I thank you for bringing that up because that was embarrassing.
We talk about holding people accountable on AFP, and this is one of those moments. So be better.
Thanks to everyone who sent their questions again. Devang is answering most of these this week because David, of course, is not here. And the first one goes to Tom. And Tom asks, Raptors exec Masai Ujiri reportedly received offers from multiple EPL clubs before ultimately re-signing. Which club would he have gone to? That's interesting.
Very hyper-local question, but a big bombshell news report in the Toronto Star came out about some backroom dealings with the parent company and Masai Ujiri, an exec for the Raptors, the NBA team. But in that report, it said Masai had offers from other NBA teams, but also EPL clubs. And it makes a lot of sense to me. Nick, I was like, why wouldn't you want to bring someone in who thinks in a way that A, has shown it has value, not just in NBA basketball, based on what Masai Ujiri has done with Basketball Without Borders, Giants of Africa. Like, the man clearly has a knack for developing and building stuff. So if you're an EPL club and you want to be an international club and have a footprint that spans the whole globe, which is all what these people talk about every day, it makes a lot of sense. I was kind of hoping it was Arsenal. It kind of would make sense as well, even though I feel like the Cronkies would want him to just go back to Denver and they might have a relationship already, right? So I wonder if that would even be a thing because he wants to do something outside of basketball. So I could see one of the bigger clubs, though. I don't think he would be going to a Burnley to set up shop, right?
Well, you know what? It's possible because I think the main factor here, because he's a basketball guy, but his main thing is when he took over the team as general manager in 2013, the team was worth $300 million or so. And now the team's worth $2 billion. And I know there's inflation, whatever, but they've been able to massively grow the Raptors as a brand.
Right.
And I think that's what the key is there. So for me, I think like it's a Brighton. It's a team that is on the cusp of, you know, trying to grow, that maybe has value in terms of finding a way to expand their brand rather than a team that already has, you know, their brand cemented. But true. I would love to see that. That'd be another like Ralph Kruger situation in Southampton.
Exactly. That's who I immediately thought of. That's immediately who I thought of. That's a good, man. You know what though? And like Brighton as well, position with the stadium and Brentford being in London, like, you know what? You got me thinking now.
Thank you. All right. Danzo the Best from our Discord asks, what is Soteldo's future with TFC look like? Devang, it's a bit of a mystery because, you know, who knows who poaches him potentially. Yeah.
Great question. He's doing commercials now, which is very interesting.
Did you see the drills? Okay, Nick, you did. All right.
Nick breathlessly messages me at 5 in the morning. I'm joking. No, it was at a normal time, but he's like, you have to see this Soteldo ad. You have to see this. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've seen it. Interesting, perhaps, is what I would, the charitable way I'd term it.
I love drills.
I know you do. And who doesn't, right? And I mean, it's a perfect fit. I have no idea, really. I think the Soteldo thing is also kind of linked with what they do with some of the older guys. And if, say, Josie is gone and Seba doesn't come back, perhaps you build it back with Soteldo and go for it next year. The thing is, I don't really know if him and Pozuelo work together. I don't know if they prove that. And I think the other thing is that Soteldo is definitely one of those players on this squad that you can make money on if you do decide to transfer or you do decide to sell him. Because it does sound like there's other clubs interested, but I just think anecdotally, he is in that age range, that garners a fee for him leaving. I don't think there's a lot of guys like that on TFC. So it all goes into the thinking, if I were to bet today, I don't think he's with the club next year.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Final question from the Discord as well, but it's for Nick specifically from our friend Matt. I'm glad he asked this. Here's one for Nick. Where does Sunday's match sit for you in terms of most memorable Liverpool Premier League victories? Second part of the question, would you prefer a 1-0 win over Man U and Ole is the Man U manager for the next three seasons or 5-0? Ollie fired and Conte replaces him by next Sunday, which sounds like it might happen. It might happen.
Yeah. Matt, I got to say one, there's a tear to my eye because I don't think anyone's asked me a question on Ask AFP. So thank you so much. Wow. I've thought a lot about this in the last 5 minutes in terms of where this ranks. I'm going to say It's so hard because obviously there's obviously, you know, so much history with Liverpool. So I don't want to get too much into the past. Like I would say, like one of my favorites was the win at Old Trafford during the Alex Ferguson era with Fernando Torres, and the win that they had there with their gray jerseys. That was one of my favorites with Steven Gerrard. He kisses the camera, all that. But I'm gonna say in the Klopp era, this is top three. Maybe top two. Like my all-time favorite is 4-3 against Man City in 2017. It was one of the first games that Phil Coutinho left. He went to Barcelona. Barcelona signed him in January, and they won that game 4-3. They took a 4-1 lead. There was incredible goals. That was the point in time where we finally knew something special was happening with this Klopp team. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'll take that. But this one here, it's one of the most satisfying wins. And that's why part of your second question, yes, I will take the 5-0. I don't care if they fire Ole. I don't care if they bring Conte in, because one, we've already played them once away. So our only game that we play against them after this is at home. And I don't think that they will have enough. And I don't think their team is good enough to compete for the title at this point. I know it's early, but I still don't think that they will, because I think they still have too many problems that Conte won't be able to fix. So blast Ole into the sun. I don't give a shit. I'll take the 5-0 all day, because all my Man United friends were devastated yesterday. So I don't care if he's there for the next three seasons, just make it happen. And Klopp is the best. And yeah, Matt, thank you. It makes me relive this moment over and over and over again.
It's much like 8-2, which Manchester United got over Arsenal. No matter what happens in the future, that will always have happened, and we'll be reminded by it. And much like from United fans, it's the same thing. So sack him tomorrow. You still have this day, sir. Enjoy it. And again, just saying, I call it, man. Liverpool's going to win the league. I thought they were the best team at the beginning, and I maintain that after this week as well. So basket in. Okay. A reminder, we are on patreon.com/footballpodcast. Join us there. Get access to the Discord. Get the show at free. Get the show a bit early as well. It's a great deal, if I don't say so myself. We're on Twitter @afootballpod. And if you could be so kind, a rating or a review wherever you get this pod would be great for us. Absolutely massive. Warms our heart to read them as well. So if you're feeling in the holiday spirit extremely early, do it. Be great. Again, a massive thank you to Sarita Patel for joining us. That was great. A thank you to producer Dylan on the ones and twos. And for Nick, thank you so much for listening to AFP. We'll talk to you next week.